This is Audible.
Dreamscape presents When Dimple Met Rishi by Sandhya Menon. Narrated by Sneha Mathan and Vikas Adam. Chapter 1. Dimple. Dimple couldn't stop smiling. It was like two invisible puppeteers standing stage left and stage right were yanking on strings to lift up the corners of her mouth. Okay, or maybe something less creepy. The point was, the urge to grin felt irresistible. Dimple clicked on the email again and read it. Stanford. She was going to Stanford. Even though the acceptance letter had come in the mail weeks ago, she hadn't allowed herself to really fully believe it until her student login details had come via email. She'd thought that, at the last minute, Papa would have second thoughts and renege on the deposit. Or that Mama would call and tell them Dimple had changed her mind. And if you didn't think Mama would do something like that, you'd never met her. But no. It had all actually worked out. Everything was settled. She was officially enrolled. Now, if only... Dimple clicked over to the other window she had open, her smile fading just a tad. Insomnia Con 2017. A fabulous opportunity for rising high school seniors or recent grads. Come learn the basics of web development on the sunny SFSU campus this summer. Just shut up and take my money, Dimple thought. But it wasn't that easy. It would be an incredible opportunity, this was true. She'd have a leg up on everyone else when she started Stanford in the fall. And think of the contacts she'd make. Some of the biggest names in web development had gone through Insomnia Con. Jenny Lint, for instance. The woman was a genius. She'd basically designed and coded the billion-dollar meeting space app and website from the ground up. It made Dimple salivate just to think of sitting through the same classes, participating in the same activities, walking the same campus as she had. But she didn't know if she could push her luck with a parental unit. The summer program cost $1,000, and while Papa and Mama were solidly middle class, they weren't exactly flush. Not to mention she'd already stretched her luck about as far as it could go, she was sure, by asking... Nay, haranguing them to let her go to Stanford. She was sure the only reason they had agreed was because they were secretly hoping she'd meet the IIH of her... No, their dreams at the prestigious school. IIH, for the uninitiated, stood for Ideal Indian Husband. Ugh! Just thinking about it made her want to banshee scream into a pillow. Dimple! Mama sounded screechy and frantic as usual. When Dimple was younger, she'd go running downstairs, heart pounding every single time, terrified something awful had happened. And every single time, Mama would be doing something mundane, like rummaging in the kitchen cupboard, greeting her casually with, "Have you seen my saffron?" Mama never understood why it made Dimple so livid. "Just a minute, Mama!" she shouted back, knowing full well it would be more than a minute. Dimple now knew better than to brush when she heard her mama call. They'd arrived at an uneasy truce. Mama didn't have to modulate her tone if Dimple didn't have to drop everything and rush to her aid for saffron emergencies. She clicked through the photo gallery on the InsomniaCon website for another 5 minutes, sighing at the building's giant glass and chrome structure, at the tech nerds grouped together in inviting clusters, at the pictures of previous jubilant winners of the legendary talent contest that gave them extra seed money for their apps or websites. Dimple would kill to be one of them someday. Participants of InsomniaCon were tasked to come up with a concept for the most groundbreaking app they could conceive during their month and a half at the SFSU campus. Although no one could actually code an entire app in that time frame, the idea was to get as close as possible by the judging round. There were rumors that this year, The winners would get the chance to have their concept critiqued by Jenny Lind herself. Now that would be epic! Dimple said a little prayer that she'd win $1,000 lottery, turned off her monitor, adjusted her ratty gray salwar kameez, and made her way downstairs.
वो कुछ इसके बारे में कह रही थी ना?
Papa was saying. Didn't she mention this? Dimple stopped, ears perked. Were they talking about her? She strained to hear more, but Mama pitched her voice too low and Dimple couldn't make out anything else. Of course. When she actually wanted to listen, Mama decided to be quiet and reserved. Sighing, she walked into the living room. Was it her imagination or did her parents look a little flushed? Almost guilty? She raised her eyebrows. Mama, Papa, did you need something? Dimple, tell me again about... Oh... The guilty look disappeared as Mama pursed her magenta-lipsticked mouth, taking Dimple's appearance in. Wearing specs? She pointed to Dimple's glasses, perched on the end of her nose like usual. Mama's eyes roamed, squinting with disapproval at Dimple's unruly black curly hair, which she refused to let grow past her shoulders, her face so completely unadorned with makeup and sadly, in spite of Mama's optimistic naming, nary a dimple in sight. She should be thankful I brushed my teeth this morning, Dimple thought. But Mama would never understand Dimple's aversion to makeup and fashion. Every other week, one of the aunties from the Indian Association came over to help Mama dye her roots black while Papa was at work. He was under the impression she still had her youthful color. Where are your contacts? And remember when I showed you how to do kajal? Kajal was the potted eyeliner that was hugely popular in Mama's youth, a trend which she apparently hadn't noticed had died away sometime in the 70s. Vividly, Dimple muttered, trying to tamp down the annoyance in her voice. From beside Mama, Papa, ever the peacemaker, was making a surreptitious please let it go face. I just graduated 3 days ago, Mama. Can I have this week to relax and be lazy? Papa's face now resembled a roti that had been left in the pan too long. Relax and be lazy? Mama thundered. Her glass bangles jangled in synchrony. Do you think you're going to find a husband by being lazy? Do you think for the past 22 years since marrying your father, I've had a minute to myself to be lazy? Of course not, Dimple thought, because you've been too busy hovering. She bit her tongue and sank down on the sofa, knowing that once Mama got started, she'd be at it for a while. It was better to let her talk until the words petered out, like those wind-up chattering teeth you could buy at the joke store. There were a million things she could say in acerbic response, of course, but Dimple still hadn't ruled out asking to enroll in InsomniaCon if the opportunity presented itself. It was in her best interest to hold back. No, I haven't, Mama continued. Lazy shouldn't be in a woman's vocabulary. Adjusting the violet dupatta on her gold and pink salwar kameez, Mama settled against the couch. She looked like the brilliant Indian flower Dimple knew she herself would never be. You know, Dimple, a grown daughter is a reflection of her mother. What do you think others in our community will think of me if they see you like this? She made a vague gesture at Dimple's person. Not that you aren't beautiful, Betty, you are, which is what makes it even more tragic. Dimple knew she shouldn't, but the flare of temper that overtook her made it all but impossible to stop the flood of words leaving her mouth. That is such a misogynistic view, Mama, she said, jumping up, pushing her glasses up on her nose. Papa was muttering something under his breath now. He might have been praying. Mama looked like she couldn't believe what she was hearing. Misogynistic? You call your own mother misogynistic? Mama darted an indignant look at Papa, who appeared to be extremely invested in a loose thread on his kurta. Turning back to Dimple, Mama snapped, This is what I'm worried about. You lose sight of the important things, Dimple. Looking nice, making an effort. These are the things girls value in our culture, not this... She made air quotes, which up until now Dimple hadn't realized she knew how to use. Misogyny business. Dimple groaned and clutched her head, feeling like that ancient pressure cooker Mama still used when she made idli cakes. She was sure there was an actual chance she would explode. There was no way she and Mama were related. They may as well have been two entirely different species. Seriously? That's what you think I should be relegating my brain space to, looking nice? Like, if I don't make the effort to look beautiful, my entire existence is nullified? Nothing else matters. Not my intellect, not my personality, or my accomplishments. My hopes and dreams mean nothing if I'm not wearing eyeliner? Her voice had risen incrementally until it echoed off the high ceilings. Mama, caught up in the moment, stood to meet her glare. Hi, Ram, Dimple. It is not eyeliner. It is kajal. Dimple's temper flashed, the heat tempered only slightly by the dampness of disappointment. This was an argument they'd had so many times she and Mama could probably say each other's lines. It was like they were constantly speaking two different languages, each trying to convince the other in an alien lexicon. Why couldn't Mama make the smallest effort to understand where Dimple was coming from? Did she really think Dimple had nothing valuable to contribute besides her looks? The thought made Dimple's pulse skyrocket. She leaned forward, face flaming, ready to speak her mind about how she really felt. The doorbell chime echoed through the house, bringing them to a standstill. Dimple's heart still raced, but she felt all the million old arguments stall, unspoken behind her lips. Mama adjusted her dupatta, which had begun to fall off during the argument, and took a deep breath. "We have guests," she said demurely, patting her hair. "I trust you will behave for them, Dimple." Papa looked at her with big, pleading eyes. Dimple managed a curt nod, thinking, "Saved by the bell, Mama. You don't know how lucky you are." Chapter 2. Dimple. Mama bustled out of the room in a cloud of sandalwood perfume to open the door. Dimple tried to take deep, calming breaths. Stanford was only a few months away, she reminded herself. And if she could swing Insomniacon, freedom would be hers very, very soon. "Hello," Dimple heard after a moment. The word trilled and echoed like a small, annoying bird's song. Papa grimaced. "Ritu, auntie," he said, half resigned, half annoyed. He reached over and grabbed the phone. "Important phone call," he murmured as he disappeared around the corner. "Traitor," Dimple called softly at his retreating back. She stood and pressed her palms together just as Ritu, auntie rounded the corner in her wheelchair, pushed, as usual, by her silent, watchful new daughter-in-law, Seema. "Namaste, Ritu, auntie, Seema didi." Technically, Ritu wasn't her aunt, and Seema wasn't her didi, older sister. But it was customary to always be respectful of your elders, a lesson that had been drilled into her since she was a baby. And yet, somehow, Dimple found herself questioning them, and really everything, all the time. Mama often lamented that her first word had been, "Why?" "Namaste," Ritu auntie said, beaming up at her. Behind her, Seema watched unsmilingly through a curtain of long, sleek black hair. "Please sit, Seema," Mama said. "Can I get you some chai, biscuits? I have parle ji bought specially for you from the Indian market." Mama was constantly on a mission to make Seema feel at home. It was her opinion that the reason Seema was as withdrawn as she was because Ritu auntie hadn't done a good enough job making her feel welcome in her sasural, bridal home. This had created a strange rivalry between Ritu auntie and Mama. Dimple pitied Seema, caught like a helpless fly in the web of their crazy. "Oh, Seema and I found something she likes better," Ritu auntie said. "Milanos. Isn't that right, Seema? Tell her how much you like those." "They're delicious," Seema said dutifully. After a pause, Perhaps awaiting another directive, Seema sat in the empty armchair next to Rituanti. Dimple sat down too.
Oh, we have those also, Mama announced triumphantly. Let me go and get. And some chai for everyone.
Left alone with the visitors, Dimple pushed her glasses up and attempted to rack her brain for something to say. Thankfully, Rituanti had majored in small talk in college.
So, all ready for Stanford, Dimple? Your mama can't stop talking about it.
Really? Dimple smiled, touched. She hadn't heard Mama say much about Stanford, besides to lament the price tag of a private school education. It just went to show Mama was proud of her only daughter's intellect deep down. Maybe, in spite of Dimple's doubts, Mama really did want her to get the best education, even if she pretended to be...
Yes, so many boys go there for engineering, you'll have the pick of the litter.
Rituanti looked at her with an expectant gleam in her eyes. Of course. Dimple should have guessed. It was the IIH nonsense again. She suspected the entire community of aunties was in on it. It was like some bizarre version of a geocaching club. The minute somebody's daughter turned 18, all the aunties began to scheme the shortest route from her parents' home to the ultimate prize, her sasural.
Right. But I'm really more interested in their technology program, Dimple said, forcing herself to stay polite.
Seema shifted in her seat, uncomfortable with this show of assertiveness. But Rituanti only waved her off as if she thought Dimple was being demure. Who on earth went to college with anything but the aspiration of landing a marriageable partner? Dimple thought of InsomniaCon, of Jenny Lint, of SFSU, of Stanford, of all the things she'd jeopardize if she called Rituanti a backward anti-feminist blight on democratic society. Thankfully, Mama returned then, arms trembling from holding a heavy silver tray laden with a teapot, teacups, and cookies and plates.
Chalo, chai or snacks ho jai. And Seema, I brought you extra shakkar for your sweet tooth.
She guffawed over jovially, and Dimple had to bite the inside of her cheek to keep from laughing at Seema's frozen expression. The woman was so uncomfortable with Mama's interest in her, and yet she had no idea how to put a stop to it. Dimple felt bad for the other girl, but not bad enough to say anything. Attention on Seema just meant less on her. Mama set the tray down on the coffee table, and everyone helped themselves.
So where is Stanford exactly? Rituanti said between bites. San Francisco?
There was a strange sort of stillness from Mama's side of the couch, which Dimple tried and failed to decipher.
Not quite, she said, turning back to Rituanti.
It's about 40 minutes south of San Francisco proper.
Pity,
Rituanti replied, grabbing another cookie just as Seema was reaching for the same one. Seema's hand seemed to shrivel, and she straightened up, giving up on cookie retrieval completely. Mama, smiling smugly, put two cookies on a plate and handed them to Seema. Rituanti, oblivious to the entire exchange, went on.
San Francisco is supposed to be such a beautiful city, full of opportunities for the young.
Okay. Dimple could not have asked for a more perfect opportunity if she'd crafted it from rainbows and sunbeams herself. She cleared her throat. Perhaps with Seema in the room, Mama might want to appear more magnanimous.
Actually, it's interesting you bring that up, Dimple said. She took a sip of hot tea to bolster herself.
There is an opportunity in San Francisco this summer I'm interested in. Do you remember me telling you about it, Mama? She forced herself to keep her face calm and slack. Like asking her parents to drop a grand and this sort of thing was something she routinely did, NBD.
Hmm?
Mama looked distracted, blowing on her tea.
Oh, something about web development.
Wow. Dimple had underestimated Mama. Maybe she really did pay attention.
Ha, that's right. She smiled encouragingly.
InsomniaCon at the SFSU campus. It starts in 3 weeks, and it's such a fantastic program. Some of the greatest minds in technology have been through it. It's 6 weeks long,
And you learn so much. It would really help me prepare for Stanford.
But it's pretty expensive.
She trailed off, reddening when she noticed Rithuanti watching with interest. Even Silent Seema seemed to be studying Dimple's reflection in the silver tray.
It sounds worth it to me if it will help your career, Rithuanti said into the silence.
Dimple looked up in surprise. Not that she wasn't thankful for the help, but she had to wonder at this sudden interjection. Since when did Rithuanti think in terms of benefiting a woman's career?
Why don't you discuss it with Vijay, Lina?
Dimple looked at Rithuanti in disbelief, and Rithuanti winked at her. After a moment, Mama bellowed for Papa to come over.
Vijay! Idhar aaiye!
Papa came in, a wary expression on his face that he quickly converted to a warm smile for the visitors.
Ritu, Seema, hello.
Seema Didi immediately shot to her feet and pressed her palms together.
Namaste, Vijay uncle.
Please sit, sit.
He took a seat by Mama and then, after the briefest of pauses, reached out and snagged a Milano. Mama and Dimple both said, no. But he stuffed the cookie into his mouth before they could stop him and then grinned sheepishly. Dimple put two fingers to the bridge of her nose.
Papa, you're a diabetic.
Mama sighed overdramatically.
Kya aap mujhe vidva chhodne chahte ho?
Dimple rolled her eyes at her mother's words.
It's diabetes, Mama. I don't think he's going to die and leave you a widow anytime soon.
Rithuanti was watching this little family drama with interest, but Seema looked like she'd rather be anywhere else but here.
If he doesn't take his medication like he's supposed to, he will. Checking his blood sugar, eating a balanced diet, he doesn't want to do any of this.
The tips of Papa's ears began to turn pink and he cleared his throat.
Okay, okay. Now, why did you call me?
The air in the room tensed. Mama adjusted her salwar kameez and looked at Dimple.
Tell him what you told me.
Barely daring to breathe, Dimple repeated verbatim what she'd told Mama.
I have the link to the website if you want to look at it, she finished.
Papa and Mama looked at each other. It always amazed her how they could seemingly communicate without speaking. She wondered what that was like, that level of intense bond. Though she'd take to wearing kajal every day before she'd admit it, Dimple sometimes felt a pang at the thought of never having that. Because she was sure the kind of bond Mama and Papa had would require a self-sacrifice she would never be okay making. Finally, Papa turned to her.
Yes, I would like to see the website. But I think your Mama and I both feel that you should go.
His cheeks were tinted vaguely pink, as were the tips of his hairy ears, like he was embarrassed by this show of caring. A beat. Two beats. Three. Dimple blinked, not quite sure what had happened. And then her body caught up with her brain.
Oh my God, thank you both, she squealed, throwing her arms around them.
Seriously? Was that all she had needed to do this entire time? Ask Mama for things while Rithuanti and Seema Didi were present? Her parents chuckled and patted her on the back. She pulled back and grinned at them, still not able to completely believe it.
They were letting her go to San Francisco to attend InsomniaCon just like that. It felt unreal. She should buy Rithuanti a present.
This is so great news.
Rithuanti clapped her hands together.
Lina, before she goes, you must take her to buy some new salwar kameez.
The older woman appraised Dimple's current outfit with pity.
Clearly she could use the help, na?
Good idea.
And kajal, of course,
Mama said, nodding sagely. Okay, maybe no present for Rithuanti.
Chapter 3 Rishi. The girl was scowling. Literally scowling. She was pretty, with wild black hair and huge brown eyes she hid behind square-framed glasses. And petite,
a perfect match for his 5'8" frame. But that scowl. Rishi handed the picture back to his parents. She doesn't look too happy, does she? Ma put the picture away in the envelope and handed it back to him to keep.
Uffo, don't worry, beta. They probably just clicked it at a bad time.
Papa put his arm around her and laughed. Remember how Ma and I met? Rishi grinned, misgivings receding. The story was legendary in their family. Within minutes of meeting each other, Ma had beaten Papa with her umbrella because he took her seat on the bus. He maintained that, in his defense, he hadn't seen her in line. She was rather short. And in her defense, she said it had been a long, wet day schlepping through monsoon floods. That seat on the bus was the only thing she'd had going for her. What made it funnier was that Papa had been on his way to her house to meet her parents to arrange their marriage. You ended up giving her the seat after all, Rishi said, even after she beat you up with her umbrella.
Or maybe because of it, Ma said knowingly. You men are all the same. You need a strong woman to keep you in place.
But not too strong, Rishi said thoughtfully, looking back down at the envelope on the counter. Dimple Shah looks fierce.
Nah, beta, we've known Lina and Vijay Shah for decades. You might even remember them from some weddings we've all attended over the years, Papa said, though Rishi had no memory at all of this girl. And he definitely would have remembered her.
Maybe not. You were so young. Anyway, they are a good family, Rishi. Solid, from the same part of Mumbai as us.
Give it a chance though, beta. And if you don't get along, he shrugged. Better to find out now than in 10 years' time, no?
Rishi nodded and drained the last of his chai. This was true. What was the harm, anyway, in attending a program in San Francisco for a couple of weeks to meet Dimple Shah? Obviously, she'd already agreed, so she must think it was a good idea, too. Everything looked good on paper, he had to admit. She'd just graduated high school like he had, and had apparently gotten into Stanford, which, of course, was across the country from MIT, where he'd been accepted, but he was sure they could work something out. Their parents already knew each other and felt their personalities would be compatible. She'd been born and brought up here, too. They probably had a lot in common. Besides, when had his parents ever led him astray? Just look at them. Arms around each other, eyes twinkling with anticipation for their oldest son. They were the poster children for arranged marriage.
Okay, Papa, Rishi said, smiling. I'm going to do it.
Rishi whistled as he walked into the den, his heart lifting like a helium balloon in spite of himself. He fully believed romantic comedies were idiotic. There were no insta-love moments in real life that actually lasted. Rishi had watched dozens of his friends, of all ethnicities, fall in love at the beginning of the school year and become mortal enemies by the end. Or worse, become apathetic nothings. Rishi knew from watching his parents that what mattered were compatibility and stability. He didn't want a million dramatic, heart-stoppingly romantic moments. He wanted just one long, sustainable partnership. But in spite of his immense practicality, he could picture her in his life. He already knew the first time he saw Dimple's picture that their story would become a sort of legend, just like Ma beating Papa with that umbrella. She'd have some cute, funny quip about the day that picture was taken that would totally endear her to him. Maybe her parents picked that one to send because they wanted to convey her playful personality. And if it all worked out? If they found that they were, in fact, as compatible as their parents predicted? Rishi's life would be on track. Everything would fall into place. He'd go to MIT. Maybe she'd transfer there or somewhere close by. They could hang out, date for a couple of years through college and maybe grad school, and then get married. He'd take care of Dimple, and she'd take care of him. And a few years after that, they'd make his parents grandparents. But he was getting ahead of himself. First, he'd have to feel her out, see where she was with things. Maybe she wanted to get married before grad school. He stopped short when he saw Ashish sprawled on the couch, mantis-like legs splayed out so he took up every inch of space on the love seat. His hair had grown out, and it curled over his forehead and into his eyes. He was dressed, as usual, in his basketball uniform. It didn't matter that it was summer. Basketball and Ashish had been in a serious relationship since he was in elementary school. Now, 8 years later, he was good enough to be the only rising junior on the varsity team. He'd been training at a special camp for athletic prodigies like him all summer. "Dude, get your nasty feet off the pillows! How many times does Ma have to tell you before you'll listen?" Rishi thumped his little brother's shoe, but it didn't budge. On the TV, someone scored, and Ashish groaned. "Aw, man! You're bad luck, bhaiya!" "That may be, but I think my luck's about to change, my friend. I'm doing it. I'm going to San Francisco." Rishi's stomach swooped. If he was telling Ashish, it must really be happening. Whoa. Ashish muted the game and sat up slowly. Rishi tried not to be too jealous of his little brother's bulging muscles. They just had very different interests, he reminded himself.
"Tell me you're kidding."
Rishi shook his head and flung himself into the empty spot next to Ashish.
"Nope. You're actually going to go meet that girl dragon?"
Rishi punched Ashish's arm and tried not to wince when his fist stung.
"Hey, don't forget the first time Ma and Papa met..."
Ashish groaned and sank back against the couch.
"Yeah, I think I have the gist of that story after hearing it 4 million times."
More seriously, he said,
"Look, man, I know you. You and I don't always see eye to eye on everything. You're like some weird 35-year-old teenager. But don't you think you're rushing things? First MIT, and now this girl and InsomniaCon? I mean, what about your comics?"
Rishi's shoulders tensed before his brain had fully processed what Ashish was saying.
"What about them?"
He was careful to keep his voice light, casual.
"Those are just a hobby, Ashish. Kid stuff. This is real life. It's not high school anymore."
Ashish shrugged.
"I know. I just think, I mean, college doesn't have to mean you just let go of everything, does it? Like, I plan to play ball in college. Why can't you do what you want too?"
Rishi smiled a little. "What makes you think this isn't what I want?" His brother's eyes, the same color of dark honey as his own, searched his face for something. Finally, apparently not finding it, Ashish looked away.
"Whatever, man. As long as you're happy."
Rishi felt a pang of something, looking at his little brother. Ashish was now taller than him by a full inch. They were so fundamentally different. And to Ashish, he was just some weird relic, something that belonged in their parents' time in India, not here in modern America. "Maybe this is the beginning of us growing apart," Rishi thought, and his heart hurt. But he forced himself to get up, because he knew they'd said all there was to say for now. He made his way up to his room to pack for San Francisco, for Dimple Shah, whoever she was.
Chapter 4. Dimple. "What about this one? The color will really suit you, Dimple." Dimple couldn't resist rolling her eyes at the voluminous salwar kameez Mama was holding up. It was swaths of gold brocade with a vibrant peacock blue dupatta. It looked like a costume for a Bollywood movie. "Sorry, Mother, I cannot wear that to InsomniaCon." Mama lowered the offending garment, looking outraged. "Why not? You should be proud of your heritage, Dimple." From around the tiny shop full of imported Indian clothing, parents gave Mama approving looks. Dimple could see her practically preening for the crowd. "Papa and I have held on to our culture, our values, for a quarter century. When we came to America, we said we would never..." "Yeah, but I didn't come to America,"
Dimple interrupted, darting a defiant glance at all the shoppers. I was born here. This is my home. This is my culture. Mama clutched the gold salwar to her bosom. Hai Ram, she said faintly. Dimple sighed and grabbed a few kurta tops hanging on the rail next to her. They were all variations of the same color and pattern, black with grayish-silver accents. What about these? She said. She could pair them with her skinny jeans and chucks and look almost normal. Mama made a face, but Dimple could already see she was going to agree. I suppose that will do, but a little bit of color would really be nice for your complexion, since you refuse to wear makeup. Dimple hurried Mama to the counter to pay before she could begin looking around the store for kajal. Back at home, Dimple texted Celia. Leaving tomorrow, 8 a.m. Should take me about 4 hours from Fresno. Celia was one of the few other girls who were attending InsomniaCon. They'd met on the forums and decided to room together for the month and a half. Of course, Dimple hadn't told Mama and Papa about that. They'd worry that Celia would turn out to be a 50-year-old man with a shovel and a van if they knew that Dimple met her online. She wasn't. Dimple had checked her out on Facebook. It had been hard enough to convince them to let her drive herself. Dimple wasn't completely sure they'd grasped the concept of college, that in just a couple of weeks, she'd be living apart from them, making decisions for herself. Alone. Her phone beeped with an incoming text. I cannot wait. Celia, who'd also just graduated high school, lived in San Francisco with her parents. She would start at SFSU in the fall. Me either. Do you want to meet up for lunch when I get there? Sure. How about on campus? They have a great pizza place. Sounds awesome. After they'd settled the details, Dimple sank back in her bed and smiled. It was all falling into place. Her life was finally beginning.
Rishi. Ma performed the ritual in the driveway. She'd set a bowl of kumkum powder dissolved in water on a silver tray, and she circled it around his face and shoulders. Her lips moved feverishly in prayer to Lord Hanuman as she asked that good fortune smile on her oldest son. When the ritual was completed, she stepped back and smiled up at him, tears glistening in her eyes. Papa put his hand on Rishi's shoulder and squeezed once, briefly, before letting go.
You have everything you need?
Papa said everything with a meaningful weightiness, and Rishi nodded solemnly, knowing what he meant.
Call us the minute you get there,
Ma said.
We're in Atherton. It'll take him like an hour to get to SFSU. He takes longer baths.
Ashish was a few feet away, shooting hoops while he waited for his friends to swing by and pick him up for whatever fun weekend activity they had planned, contracting Hep C, or maybe alcohol poisoning. His mother glared over her shoulder.
Yes, but this is a special trip. He could be meeting your future bhabhi, Ashish. Have some respect.
Don't worry, I'll call as soon as I can, Rishi said quickly. Then he bent down and touched their feet. Bye, Ma, Papa.
He felt his chest swelling with emotion as he got in the car and drove off, his parents waving like mad in the rearview mirror. Something bigger than him threatened to flatten Rishi. Something bigger than all of them. He could swear, as he drove down the tree-lined street in the late morning light, that he saw dozens and dozens of flickering ghosts. His grandparents, and their parents, and their parents, watching him. Smiling, escorting him to his destiny.
Dimple. Dimple stretched out her stiff muscles as she made her way to the cluster of stores and restaurants across from the parking garage. The afternoon sunlight was luxuriant on her skin. She'd been sequestered in her car for the past 3 hours. The open air of the city felt positively therapeutic. After all that inhaled air conditioning. Dimple had gotten here faster than she'd anticipated, so she'd texted Celia to tell her that she was here, but to take her time. She would explore the campus a bit while she waited. But first, Starbucks. She needed some caffeine in her system before she called home to tell her parents she'd arrived. Mama was sure to have another litany of questions and warnings about American college boys. Dimple had to actually roll up the car window while Mama was talking this morning so she could leave on time. Even Papa had given up and gone inside after 20 minutes. The woman was relentless, with the jaw muscles of a jungle predator. The upside was that because she'd been so worried about being late, Dimple had driven 10 above the speed limit the entire time, refused to stop for breaks, and made it early. "An iced coffee, please," she told the cute male barista with the septum piercing. The coffee shop buzzed, college students mingling like showy tropical fish with their brightly colored hair. The sheer scope and number of tattoos and piercings would have Mama fainting. Dimple adored it. Clutching her iced drink, she made her way outside and meandered over to a stone fountain of the SFSU Gator, which was turned off. Thank you, drought conditions. Dimple sat on the lip of the bowl and tipped her face up to the sky, soaking up the sunshine and thinking about how she'd spend the next hour. Should she go by the Insomniacon building now, or do that with Celia later? She wanted to stop by the library, too, to see if they had the new Jenny Lind memoir. Man, the freedom made her feel almost drunk. She really did love her family so much, but being at home was starting to feel like wearing an iron corset, painful and breathless and pinchy in all the wrong places. Although, she had to hand it to them. Sending her here was unprecedented. Dimple didn't know what had brought on her parents' sudden change of heart about Insomniacon, but maybe she was having more of an influence on them than she thought. Maybe they were finally beginning to realize she was her own person, with a divergent, more modern belief system that renounced the patriarchal dynamics of their time. There was a sort of scuffling sound nearby, and Dimple opened her eyes, startled. An Indian boy, about her age, was gazing down at her with the weirdest, goofiest grin on his face. His straight, jet-black hair flopped onto his forehead. "Hello, future wife," he said, his voice bubbling with glee. "I can't wait to get started on the rest of our lives." Dimple stared at him for the longest minute. The only word her brain was capable of producing in various tonal permutations was, "What? What?" Dimple didn't know what to think. Serial killer? Loony bin escapee? Strangely congenial mugger? Nothing made sense. So she did the only thing she could think to do in the moment. She flung her iced coffee at him and ran the other way.
Chapter 5. Rishi.
Oh, crap. Oh, no, no, no. He'd been kidding.
As Rishi watched the rapidly retreating back of his possible future wife, he realized he'd totally freaked her out because of his poorly executed joke. This was why he usually left the humor to Ashish. Wringing out the cold coffee from his shirt, he considered running after her, explaining himself. But he knew by the mileage she was clocking right then that she was probably not in the headspace to really listen. Shoot. What if she called her parents to tell them what a psycho the Patel boy was, and then they called his parents? Rishi whipped out his cell phone and dialed home to warn Ma and Papa.
"Hello?"
his mom answered, breathless, anticipatory.
"Ma?"
Hearing her voice made him feel even guiltier, more ashamed at how he'd handled the first meeting. All that hard work they must have put into arranging this.
"Ha, beta, did you arrive safely?"
"I did, but..."
"Wonderful."
"No, no, it's not."
Rishi hung his head, inhaling the smell of coffee wafting off him. He sank down on the sun-baked lip of the fountain where a moment before his future had been perched. A pause.
"Kya hua?"
"You might get a phone call from Dimple Shah's parents soon. I just met her.
Rishi's voice was a croak. And it didn't go well. I totally blew it. He heard a scuffling sound and his mom saying something softly to someone else. Then his dad was on the phone.
Rishi?
Rishi squeezed his eyes shut.
Papa, I'm sorry. Vijay uncle and Lina auntie are probably going to call you, and they're not going to be happy.
Tell me what happened.
I saw her. Dimple Shah. So I walked up to her and made a totally stupid joke about us beginning the rest of our lives together. And she threw her coffee at me and ran away.
A lengthy pause.
I see. And, did you introduce yourself before you made the joke?
Rishi's eyes flew open.
Damn it! Was he really that much of a moron?
No. No, I didn't.
So, a perfect stranger approaches her on the street, tells her he wants them to begin the rest of their lives together. It doesn't seem too much of an overreaction to panic, does it?
Rishi's heart lifted. Just a smidge.
Could it be that that was all it was? She'd needed context? Dimple hadn't even known who he was.
He smiled a little.
No, I guess not.
Then his smile fell again.
She's not going to want to talk to me again after that.
His mother said something in the background, and Papa replied.
Huh, that's not a bad idea.
To Rishi, he said, Do you have the special gift?
Rishi frowned a little.
In my duffel bag in the car, yeah. But don't you think it's a little soon?
It might be in the usual circumstances, Bitta, but now it's the perfect way to show her who you are.
Apologize for your mistake. She's probably a very traditional girl, Rishi, if Vijay and Lina are any sort of indicator.
Rishi's brow cleared. He could handle this.
Okay. You're probably right. 1 minute. Ma se baat karo.
A scratching sound as he handed the phone to Ma. His mother's voice was eager, bright.
Tell me, Rishi, what did you think of her?
What had he thought of her? To be honest, he'd been too crazy nervous to really process everything he'd seen. He'd gotten out of the parking garage and was thinking about getting a bottle of water at Starbucks. And then she was just there, right in front of him, like some sort of huge cosmic coincidence personified. Sitting on that fountain, face upturned, drinking in the sunshine like a flower, looking completely beatific. Her curls had been wild, desperate for a comb. She'd been dressed in a kurta top, which he liked. But the way she'd looked at him, at first aghast, then hostile, and after that, totally and utterly murderous. Rishi was really lucky all she'd done was throw iced coffee at him. She looked like she'd be capable of much more, like breaking his nose or a brutal fish hook.
She seemed spirited.
His mother's peals of laughter traveled down the phone line.
Spirited! Good, good. Papa would have said the same thing about me 25 years ago.
Sure, Rishi thought. But Ma's spirit had a soft, tender underside. Dimple Shah he wasn't so sure about. Something about the way her brown eyes spit fire behind those huge glasses.
Yeah, maybe I should go. Try to find her at the dorms.
The prospect made him uneasy, but the longer he waited, the worse this was going to be. Maybe once he explained himself and showed her what he'd brought, she'd be flattered. Maybe they could have a laugh about the whole thing.
Dimple. If this was San Francisco, Dimple would have to invest in some heavy-duty pepper spray. She'd barely been in the city 15 minutes, and already she'd been accosted by a predator. Maybe she and Celia could take some Krav Maga classes on the side, learn how to use their attacker's size against them. Not that that dude had been very big. He was sort of built like Chris Messina, on the shorter side, and slim but strong-looking. She wondered what his deal was. In any case, iced coffee or not, Dimple could have taken him. She was no delicate flower. Adjusting her messenger bag, Dimple made her way to the co-ed dorms. She supposed she could bring her small suitcase in at some other time. She was too tired right now. Thank you, psycho mugger, for the lack of caffeine. She could set her stuff down, look into getting a map of the campus, and then head over to that pizza place to wait for Celia. The dorm was a tiny rectangular room, just big enough for two twin beds and two desks. The inexplicable scent of wood shavings hung heavy in the air. The walls were institutional gray-brown, the carpet, ditto. On the headboard of one of the beds, some past student had inscribed, with a sharpie and a careful hand, Ipsa scientia potestas est. Dimple loved it. All of it. Instantly and with an unadulterated passion. It was beginning. Her freedom, her independence, her period of learning about herself, about the world, about her career. She was finally doing it. Here, she wouldn't be Dimple Shaw, wayward, Americanized daughter of immigrant parents. She'd be just Dimple Shaw, future web developer. People would judge her on her brain, not her lack of makeup. There would be no cliques like high school. Everyone was here of their own volition to learn, to teach, to work together. She sent a quick text to Mama and Papa. Got here safely. Dorm is nice. Papa, please take your medicine. And no more sweets today. Then, smiling, she shut the door behind her and made her way past chattering students here for various summer programs down to the main lobby.
Rishi. Rishi spotted her again in the main lobby, looking at the rack of dusty campus maps. He hadn't even checked into his room yet. He was so nervous he was going to miss her. He'd run to his car to get the gift and then run back here to find her. All the InsomniaCon students had been given rooms in the same dorm, so it wasn't hard to figure out where she would be. But now, standing in the somewhat empty lobby, he wondered if she'd freak out again. She didn't seem to be holding beverages of any kind, which was good. This time, Rishi thought, he'd be sedate. Chill. Breezy. Rishi smoothed his hair back, adjusted his shirt collar, and started forward.
Dimple. The maps all looked ancient, but Dimple supposed they would have to do. She grabbed one at random and turned around. And there he was again, mouth open, staring at the back of her head. What the heck? Before she'd even fully thought about it, Dimple had reached out and sliced him with the edge of the map. Ow! Clutching his forearm, the psycho staggered backward a few steps. Huh. Not much of a predator if all it took was a paper cut to deter him. Why are you following me? Dimple took what she hoped was a menacing step forward, map held out as a weapon. The boy eyed it warily, letting his arms drop. He was dressed pretty sanely for a psychotic attacker, Dimple thought, in a button-down blue shirt, sporting a wet patch still. Her coffee, she guessed proudly, with the sleeves rolled up and well-fitted jeans. His eyes, the color of deep caramel, were almost innocent-looking. It just showed you could never trust appearances.
Well, I was about to explain that when you attacked me.
I attacked you? Dimple said slowly, eyebrows raised at his indignant tone. Are you serious? You've been following me, being totally creepy. He hung his head a little, the tips of his ears pink, the same way Papa's got when he was embarrassed.
I'm sorry. Creepy wasn't what I was going for.
Sure, buddy, whatever. Dimple stepped carefully around him, alert for any lunging. Just stay away from me or I'll call the campus police.
No, wait. I mean it. She turned again, brandishing the map.
Dimple, please, just let me explain. This isn't what... She lowered the map and frowned.
How do you know my name?
Rishi. Man, she was taking a really long time to put two and two together. Weren't Stanford students supposed to be bright? That's what I'm trying to tell you, Rishi said patiently. It's me, Rishi Patel. He waited for the light to dawn, for her to smile, smack her forehead and say, of course. But she just continued to frown at him, thick eyebrows knitted together. She was actually kind of scary.
Okay. Is that supposed to mean something to me?
Rishi stared at her. This was a joke, right? Or maybe she was just incredibly embarrassed and didn't want to admit she'd made a mistake. Maybe he should make this easier for her.
Hey, it's okay, he smiled. This is all a little out there, I know.
She shook her head.
Look, I don't know what you're talking about.
She looked too sincere to be messing with him. He felt the beginnings of doubt begin to creep in.
You're Dimple Shah, right? From Fresno? The daughter of Vijay and Lina Shah?
Her eyes widened and she stepped back.
You know an awful lot about me.
Oh, great. Now he was freaking her out again. He should just say it.
That's because we were supposed to be getting married.
Dimple. Not this nonsense again with the marriage delusions. But she had to admit, he seemed genuine, sincere. Something dark and heavy began to squirm just under her diaphragm. Wait, how do you know about me and my parents? He looked totally confused.
Because our parents are childhood friends. They set this whole thing up. Your parents mailed my parents a picture of you and vice versa.
Then his face cleared. And this is the first you've heard of any of this. It wasn't a question. Dimple was afraid she might be sick. If she actually had anything in her stomach, she would have been. The world tilted and spun and there was a ringing in her ears. This was why Mama and Papa had been so open about letting her go to InsomniaCon. This was what all the weird, guilty looks were about. And that damn Ritu auntie had probably been in on it too.
Hey, are you okay?
The boy, Rishi, came forward and put a gentle hand on her elbow, steadying her. Dimple wrenched her elbow away from him, heat flooding her cheeks. She really wanted to slice him with the map again, but managed to resist. This is ridiculous. Okay? I can't even believe... How do I know you're not making this up, huh? Maybe this is just some sort of cheap, twisted pickup line. Dimple couldn't help it. All the anger and fury she should have been directing at Mama and Papa was being misplaced and directed at Rishi instead. She saw his cheeks color, his jaw harden. But instead of lashing back at her, he reached into his pocket and pulled out an envelope, from which he extracted a small picture. It was her. Dimple remembered that. It was from last Diwali, when Mama had insisted she go to the celebration put on by the Indian Association. She'd wanted to go to a local showing of the documentary Bridegroom instead. Hence the scowl. Now that she thought about it, though, all her pictures pretty much look like that. And Rishi reached into his pocket again and pulled out a small jewelry box. Oh, God, no. Please don't let that be what she thought it was. He snapped it open. Nestled inside was a ring made out of gold so pure, it looked almost orange.
My great-grandmother's ring. My parents have kept this for me since I was born.
Rishi paused, looking down at the small square ring. His expression was solemn, like he was holding something that could shape fortunes and mold destinies. When he looked back up at Dimple, it hit her how much this really meant to him. This wasn't just an arranged marriage to Rishi. This was the rich fabric of history stretched through time and space.
Believe me, I wouldn't use this for a cheap, twisted pickup line.
He was speaking slowly, his words and tone measured, but she could tell he was angry. God, now she felt like a total jerk. It wasn't his fault they were in this heinous situation. Dimple felt the anger drain out of her. She blew out her breath. I'm sorry. I was totally caught off guard. He was staring at her, open-mouthed. She frowned.
What? I just didn't expect you to apologize. You're so...